This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What?
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic on the program.
Welcome back into the program. Crazy, crazy stuff happening in Major League Baseball. Trade deadlines are upon us, and our good friend Alec Lewis from The Athletic is in Chicago following the Royals as all these things go down. Alec, first off, let's talk about last night. I mean, the Royals keep fighting. That sure felt like they wanted that one last night. Mike Matheny's reaction after the game said it all. This guy is grinding all the time, and every victory is precious to him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's something we've seen from the day he became the Royals manager. But, yeah, it was. I mean, Salvador Perez hit a ball about as far as I think you're ever going to see in a game. It was like, I think they said 452 feet, but there is just no way that was just 452 feet. I honestly was like, is that going to end up in the north side of Chicago? Like, it was crushed. And then Daniel Lynch was really good, and they've obviously won two in a row. Having Salvi back is huge. This team, it does fight. They do have. They have talent. You can see it. I mean, it's not like they're getting. I mean, the Yankees obviously blew them away in one game, and I don't know. It's just you can see a lot of the talent, and having Salvi back is focal point number one within that.
So let's talk about Daniel Lynch last night as well. You know, he had the blister issues a couple weeks ago. Do you think these things are going to be chronic? Or do you just get over it? Does the skin toughen up? What's it going to be for him?
Yeah, I like to use the word callous on a situation. You know, you get a good callous. But I think that's seriously, I think that's the situation. He had a blister that sidelined him for a little bit. Then he had a different cut. And part of it, I think, is attributed to he throws his slider very interestingly. It's why it's such a good pitch. But he kind of throws it with his knuckle and his finger. And hand placement with his left hand has to be so fine for him to throw it as effectively as he wants to. And I think that can affect things. But when he's on and he is healthy and he can just kind of perform the way I think a lot of us who have seen him for a long time, seen what he can do. I mean, it looks like last night he's facing a tough White Sox lineup with a lot of really good, dangerous right-handed hitters, even though they haven't been performing all year and haven't been healthy all year. And so he was just kind of on the attack and just going right at guys. And I mean, he's got confidence in himself. I've said this with Seren for a long time. He's asked me about Daniel Lynch and a lot of these guys. And I've said specifically with Daniel Lynch, like, if there's one thing about this guy, he expects to be better than anybody on the outside wants him to be. And I think that's just a good place to start.
Alec Lewis is our guest, and it was a win last night for the Royals, and you know they've won a couple here, and that's good. What do you think's going on here in the Central? This is a big day today, trading deadline and all that, and we've got three teams at the top. The White Sox have to be disappointed in losing again to the Royals. I mean, the Twins squeaked one out last night. Cleveland got one. It's like this is an interesting race, but I don't. From the outside, looking in, none of these teams look like they're going to be championship-type teams. But you don't pass up on an opportunity to make the postseason because you never know what can happen in the postseason. Do you think there'll be a lot of action as we work towards the trade deadline later today and just any sort of moves these teams can make to be better than the rest in this division?
Yeah, it's a fascinating group of teams. And I think people who follow teams in other divisions might be like, fascinating, really? But it is because – like, the White Sox came into the season with such high expectations, and obviously injuries have affected things. I mean, last night there were fire Tony chants in relation to Tony La Russa. I mean, the Twins are just in an interesting spot. They have talent. This morning they actually went out and acquired Jorge Lopez, the former Royals pitcher who's been dominant, was an all-star this year. And then Cleveland, I mean, what's crazy about Cleveland, and it's always been crazy about Cleveland, is just their ability to have so many young players developed within that system. They've got young pitchers, a lot of guys who haven't even debuted yet, and then they brought up a bunch of young hitters this year who have impacted the team to the point at which they are like on the cusp of maybe making the playoffs this year. So interesting grouping. Each of these teams needs to make moves. It'll be interesting to see how aggressive all three will be, but one to follow for sure.
So the Orioles kind of decided they're out, right? I mean, they were in the, they're still in the wild card race. So they started making trades yesterday, and then you mentioned the Jorge Lopez one this morning with the Twins. Let's talk about Lopez. This is a guy the Royals had for a couple of years, and he just couldn't find his way as a starting pitcher. The Orioles tried him as a starter last year. What do you think clicked for him to become this dominant reliever who's a big trade piece today?
Yeah, I think the short answer, I mean, is, and I asked him this early this year when the Orioles were in Kansas City, but I think he just focused on a couple of pitches. I think he refined his body movements a little bit, focused on his lower half and his hips. And then I think he said he just wanted to rip the crap out of his pitches. I mean, when you throw, his velocity jumps. He's throwing 99-mile-an-hour sinkers, and then he's throwing sliders and curveballs and can throw a changeup. I mean, you're going to be tough. And I think as he's had success this year, the confidence has just continued to grow. And when I think about his time with the Royals, I mean, it felt like he had really good stuff. I remember sitting in a suite with the Royals executive at the winter meetings and them saying, like, there are some of our people who think he's one of the best, if not the best, Royals pitcher we have in terms of pure stuff. It was just a matter of, I mean, I have images in my head of him getting rocked and then post-game just being really downtrodden. And it seemed like he was just continuously taking punches. And so I think the change of scenery for guys can always assist. For him specifically, I think seeing the velocity jump and then having the type of success he has and realizing how filthy he is attributed to this type of season. And obviously for the Orioles, a value that brought back four minor league players today.
Alec Lewis from The Athletic, our guest. We're talking Royals. Now, last night, the Royals did acquire right-hand pitcher Luke Weaver from Arizona. This isn't some monster move, but what do they see in him?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy with prospect pedigree. I think in 2017, he was like a top five St. Louis Cardinals prospect. He was a first-round pick, I believe, in 2014. Debuted a couple years after being drafted out of Florida State. I mean, his fastball's mid-90s. He's struggled with injuries. He's got a really good changeup. So I think, I mean, mostly it's a guy who has starting experience, has prospect pedigree, has stuff that I know intrigues teams beyond the Royals. And then it's depth in the event that they do some other things here with some of their bullpen arm. And I talked to multiple scouts who are in attendance in the Bronx and who are here in Chicago who have had their eyes on many guys. I reported this, but Scott Barlow, obviously. Josh Staumont, obviously. I mean, the other teams are interested in these guys, even Taylor Clark, Dylan Coleman, et cetera. So having a guy like Luke Weaver capable of filling in the event things happen, that's kind of the skinny on that one.
And going back the other way is Emmanuel Rivera, who it seems like a fine player, but not a real big piece for the Royals' future.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Emmanuel Rivera, great guy within the clubhouse. I mean, he's a Royals draftee. They snagged him, I think, in the 19th round. So to even get a big leaguer out of that, I think, is a positive. From Puerto Rico, I mean, he showcased improvement defensively at third base. And at times, I mean, he crushed four-seam fastballs this year. But otherwise, and some of the underlying metrics say he was a solid MLB hitter. But I think for a team that wants to contend in the next few years, just not a guy I think you're going to slot in the lineup every day. And if that's the case, specifically without incredible defensive versatility, just not really the most reason to keep him.
Yeah, they seem to have several of those guys who don't particularly have a position, you know, who just kind of go one place and the other. I like versatility. But isn't it better just to say, this is a shortstop, this is a third baseman, this is a first baseman, this is what we have, right? I mean, that seems to be a better way to go about it. I don't know if that's just there's so much versatility in baseball now. Guys play a lot of positions, and maybe they don't get pigeonholed. But it seems to me it would be great if they just said, hey, you are a third baseman. Let's go do this.
Yeah, it is kind of like, I mean, you could look at it both ways. Like the Tampa Bay Rays thrive in some capacity on having abundance of players who can play many different positions and can play them well. But I think that's the ultimate question. Like, how well can versatile player X play multiple positions? I mean, Whit Merrifield, for example, has shown he can play the outfield very well. He can play second base very well. Nicky Lopez, really versatile, can play all over the infield well. Some of the other guys, I mean, I think the jury is still out in terms of guys like MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and their ability to play in the outfield. And so, it's one of those, like, you can understand why, how valuable it could be, specifically if you're trying to get the optimal lineup written out each day. But also, I think it's similar to, like, back-end bullpen roles. Like, if you could just write three guys for the 7th, 8th, and 9th, I think it's always more optimal. It's just hard to constantly find guys who are that reliable and available and good.
Yeah, I guess it's my point. Like, I like Witt. I like Nicky Lopez. I like Hunter Dozier, but I don't like the part where the Royals don't win enough games because they got these guys doing all the things. That's just me, I guess. All right, Alec Lewis, before we let you go, because I know it's very busy, trade deadline is coming, I do want to ask you, I thought this was really interesting Friday night. The Royals signed their 20th round pick. They drafted 17 college guys, and they drafted three high school guys, and the last pick they made, they gave him over $400,000, this interesting prospect who's a shortstop and a pitcher in high school out in California named Austin Charles. He's like 6'6", 6'7", does not look like your typical shortstop running around. What does this say about the organization that they threw this kind of dough at a guy who many people didn't think they should draft because he wasn't going to sign?
Yeah, so first I'll tell you, the fact you're on this, I think, is really, I mean, it's important, and I think it's one of the most under-talked about things over the last week within Royals land because of the trade deadline, understandably, but one of the most important because, to your point, Austin Charles is like a 6'6", right-handed pitcher who could throw in the mid to upper 90s, and he's also a 6'6", like, stud shortstop who can play shortstop and also hit. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday about this. The industry did not expect the industry kind of thought it was like a courtesy draft in the 20th round. I mean, this guy was asking for a lot of money, and I think it just didn't happen. He fell to the 20th round, and Danny Ontiveros, the Royals scouting director, this was his first draft, had a relationship with the family. They took a flyer. I know Austin Charles kind of and his family, I mean, they really trusted Danny Ontiveros, and they really trusted what they saw with the Royals. I mean, I believe they saw the fountains. I believe they spoke with the hitting development staffers. And I think just that their Austin's want to play professional baseball kind of fueled this. And it was said yesterday to me, it's like, we don't have a guy like this in our system. And I mean, that's pretty obvious because you rarely can find 6'6" guys who can pitch and hit. I don't know if he'll be a two-way guy. That's obviously very difficult to do unless your name's Shohei Ohtani, but I think it's a really important thing that reflects just some of the relationships this front office has cultivated over the years, and I think it'll just be a really interesting prospect to watch.
Yeah, and I saw $429,000. I had heard Friday night it might be more than that. Is that number fairly accurate? What are you hearing?
I haven't confirmed that number. It's probably I've tried to work on a story on this while also balancing trade deadline, but hopefully something I want to confirm. I do think, though, like, it is not what many people expect. I mean, it's interesting. There was another kid out in Bakersfield, California, where Austin Charles is from. I believe his name is Cutter Coffee. Similar type prospect level high school kid. And I think the Red Sox selected him, and I think the reported number with Cutter was like $1.8 million. I think I don't think Austin Charles is going to hit that number. I mean, again, I just think the trust between Austin Charles' family and the Royals here is why they were able to do this. And I don't, from talking to multiple people, I don't think any other organization, given where their relationships were with this family, could have pulled this off.
All right, remember the name. Austin Charles, Alec Lewis and I talked about him on August 2nd, all right? We're going to remember that name and mark it down, and I'll always remember Alec Lewis's name because he is the man. I know you're busy today, man. We appreciate your time. Get after it today. Follow down all these rumors, and we will talk to you soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks, Todd. I'll hang up and call 15 other scouts and agents of people, so no, it should be good. Thanks for having me. Be good. We'll see you soon.
That's Alec Lewis in Chicago following the Royals on
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Who is the Boston Red Sox career leader in innings pitched? This is not topical.
No,
it's just
not.
Someone's having a birthday today, and I thought I would. And I saw that name, and I'm like, I think I know a question for him.
Mm-hmm.
3,006 innings.
Yeah, I guessed Roger Clemens because he pitched there for a while. He's I knew second. It wasn't long enough, and I had not remembered that this person pitched there that long.
17-year Boston Red Sox player Tim Wakefield, who is 56 today.
And still pitching overseas.
I don't think so. He retired in 2011 at the age of 44. Tim Wakefield, 17 years.
Thanks to Alec Lewis for coming on. We had to let him kind of go quick. We normally do a little longer, but it's trade deadline time, so we're going to let him go chase down things. No trades yet for the Royals. Somebody check on Steven. Is he okay? There's no chance he's getting his nap in today until 5 o'clock.
Probably not. Probably not. He'll be too keyed up.
It's not going to happen, as nothing has happened there. It is now official.
Yeah.
During the last 10 minutes or so, the San Diego Padres tweeted out that they have acquired Juan Soto and Josh Bell for their number one prospect, number three prospect, whatever. Lots of things. We'll see. This is one of those, I guess, trades that hurt. I mean, people are on the Nationals because they weren't able to keep Bryce Harper, right, and Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer.
And, I mean, but they offered Juan Soto $400 million.
He went, nah.
Yeah. It seems to me like Scott Boras is basically running baseball right now.
Just about.
I mean, he's Hosmer's agent. He's Soto's agent. I'll blame him on this Hosmer thing. He should have been talking to someone and say, he's not going there.
Yeah, I'm still kind of baffled by
it. There'll be a good story about that when it comes out.
The only Royals news is that I see Roto Grinders has put out the Royals of the lineup has been out.
I don't see it from the Royals, but you're seeing this from
Roto Grinders MLB. They're pretty reliable.
Yeah. Anyone not in the lineup, Curtis?
Melendez, Witt, Perez, Pasquantino, Dozier, Merrifield, Isbell, Taylor, Lopez. So the two guys who would be most likely to be dealt out of the lineup, Merrifield and Taylor, are there. Not seen anything on Keller. Keller was the other name that kind of got added to the list from.
But he's the starting pitcher tonight.
Who was that added that to us?
Mark Farisand.
Mark Finesand.
Finesand. Said his name wrong, yeah.
But nothing yet.
Scott Barlow wouldn't be in the lineup.
Trade
He's a relief
watch
pitcher.
Continues.
Mark Finesand. Let's see the most recent thing he's done for us here. It's been 7 minutes. Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ are both in the Cubs lineup for now anyway. So now it's that time of day where you're in the lineup until you're not on the team.
And
then
you might not be.
And you're not in the lineup.
They got to put
anymore.
The lineup out. You know, there's a certain
right. There are times
time by
you
which
to,
you have to do it. And
have to put that out. And you know, that one came from Roto Grinder. The Royals haven't tweeted out themselves yet, and they're usually pretty quick when they tweet it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
And no one – sometimes the guys who cover the team will
take
pop
a picture
out there.
And do the deal, yeah.
But nothing official yet, so.
Hey, our good friend Josh Briscoe is on his way right now to – Red Door Grill in Brookside to give away tickets to our 100-year anniversary next Thursday. But you don't have to go all the way there. All you have to do right now is be caller number 8, and we will get you a pair of tickets to watch this big event. So caller number 8 right now. But if you end up being caller number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, you won't X them out. You'll answer the calls till at least 50 or 60. Adam's making a face at me like he's not going to do that.
Nice.
If you don't happen to win here and you're out and about, go right now to Red Door Grill. Say hello to Josh Briscoe. And I think he had his sandals on earlier. Tell him don't wear those shoes around. I've told him to cover his feet. Tell him that, number one.
You go into public places.
And then you sell, and then you can sign up to win tickets. He's going to give away several pair of tickets down there today at Red Door Grill. Programming note, I am going to be out and about Friday morning in Lee's Summit, and I'll be giving away a pair of tickets there. Stay tuned. We're running promos about that. It's Kansas City Collectibles right there on 50 Highway behind Jumpin' Catfish. I'll be there from 8 to 10 and behind Johnny Ray's,
yes,
which is very tasty. If you've never eaten at Johnny Ray's in Lee's Summit, you should. They got tasty burgers and tater tots. tenderloins if you want. They got all that stuff there. But I'm going to be there Friday morning, 8 to 10. Not right now. Go by there right now and patronize them. That's great. But if you want a chance to win tickets, come on by Friday morning, 8 to 10. I will be there. Right now, Josh Briscoe had better be there. It's 3:26. He's supposed to be there at 3:30. I know Briscoe's early. He'll be there at Red Door Grill down in Brookside, and he's going to be giving away tickets today. So go by and say hello to him. Get signed up. This is going to be a heck of a party. We had a meeting about this morning, and they're keeping secrets from us, Curtis. We don't know everything that's going to happen at this party.
Yeah, I don't say subterfuge, but
ain't telling us everything.
They're not letting us know about. Dang it.
They're not telling us everything.
We'll know in
9
days, but.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they won't even tell us then. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
What do you suppose? If we get to that point and there is no trade, what do you suppose the range of reactions will be from the fan base? And what do you suppose the reasoning would be from the Royals brass? So I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point.
Well, here's the range of reaction: anger and disappointment. Yeah. I don't know if any Royals fan is going to be happy that they haven't tried to improve their team for the future, because right now it doesn't look like the future is super bright with the players they have now. Because it's just not working.
Yeah.
Okay,
there are some bright spots, but there's also a lot of spots that need to be filled.
That need to be filled, and they have people who aren't going to probably be here when things get better for the Royals. So I think most Royals fans who understand how the game works know that you can get better by trading people, and will be very disappointed if in the next hour and a half no one gets traded.
Yes.
Now, what the Royals will say is they didn't get what they wanted. That'll be just flat out. We're not passing out people for nothing.
Yes, and the one nice thing about that from their standpoint is that's an impossible argument to counter. You know, effectively, we didn't get what we wanted, because they're not going to tell you what they were offered. They're not going to tell you exactly what they wanted either. So when they say, "Well, we weren't able to get what we wanted for these players,"
I feel like
what's the response? Well, you should have traded him anyway. I mean, that's a difficult argument to counter.
I agree, but I also feel we know enough about this administration that we'll feel safe in saying they should have been more aggressive, because they should have been more aggressive a lot. And if you're going, you can't say on the record, yes, we need to be more transactional, and then be passive when it comes time to be transactional.
Yeah, and they've talked about exactly, and they've talked about last week about what the makeup is of a trade, how they approach it, and whether you can go after specifically what you want, and then eventually go after what you can get in the best case scenario. So, I think it strikes me that the first trade was made so quickly, and that the others. We're sitting here 90 minutes away from the deadline, and they haven't done anything else
they kind of started the whole trade thing with Carlos Santana freaking a month ago.
Right.
They were like, all right, well, they're getting after this thing. And now they're like,
But with the post-All-Star break, midsummer deadline-ish deal to make a move on Thursday, and then we're sitting here on Tuesday 90 minutes out and nothing else.
Yeah, and the Padres, meanwhile, are just making more trades. They've just made another trade for a third baseman.
Padres acquire
majors. Don't they need some other players here? Are they not calling the Padres? The Padres are dealing right now. They're dealing. Yeah, and the Padres will be here
from the Reds
in a couple of weeks, right? That was going to be Hosmer's return, but now Hosmer's return is going to be earlier than that, because he will be here with the Red Sox. But then the Padres and this star-studded cast, who, by the way, are still like 10 or 12 games out of first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get what they're doing. They're trying to go get it done.
Pods will be here on August 26th.
Right.
For a three-game set.
And is Fernando Tatis ever going to play this year?
He'll be here this Thursday.
Going to maybe play Tatis?
Did we add Drury to that long list of Padres?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that just happened.
Okay, sorry. I was
from the Reds.
Working on a couple things in here, and I wanted to make sure that got across the line.
Victor Acosta.
And then wait 10 seconds, and they may trade another person. They may take the deadlines this hour. I don't know. They're all over it. Padres are interesting. You know, they've been a team – that has made the postseason, right? But they've spent a lot of money. It was a big deal to invest in Machado and Hosmer and Tatis with a huge contract, and he's already been hurt twice since then. That's the cautionary tale for teams. That's why, like,
you, Darvish.
If I'm Juan Soto, someone offers me $400,000. If I just don't want to be, or $400 million, if I don't want to be in Washington, I don't want to be in Washington, which may be what this is about there. But
they've been entirely transactional on their pitching staff. I mean, and there's nobody who's an original guy. Darvish, Musgrove, Manaea, Snell, Clevenger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all went. They've got almost how many players in that team are original Padres?
No.
I mean, of the impact guys right now, no one.
Well, remember when Eric Hosmer went there, the thing that he told everyone was, they say this is the deepest, you know, farm system there is. And some of those guys had come up through there. I mean, mm-hmm. Tatis came up through there because he was there then. He was a traded player from before. But they have used those pieces to go get pieces. But as I said, they're still 12 games behind the Dodgers.
Yep.
They're doing all this to be a wild card team.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot of maneuvering.
Does it feel like the Dodgers are almost done?
It does not.
Okay.
Because
a tough division.
Because they were kind of in that, I won't say a rut as far as the Dodgers are concerned. They've been hellfire since June 28th. They have gone 25-5.
Is that good?
24-5. It's pretty good. And three of those five losses have happened in the last week and a half. So that they've got things straightened out, and I think that 12-game lead probably is going to grow as we go. And
the Dodgers have made the playoffs every year since 2013.
Yeah. And the Royals, to their credit, the one year that they made the moves when they were in line for the one seed. They weren't doing it as – they didn't do it in 14. They did in 15 when they had the – best record in the American League, and it helped them maintain the best record in the American League.
And they won it all.
That helped them win the World Series.
But this Padres team has only made the playoffs once.
Right.
In this midst of trying to do all those things. Because Hosmer went out there in 18, right? That was his first year. He was mm-hmm. here in 16 and 17. They've only made the playoffs one time, and they didn't win a game in the playoffs. So this has so far not been investment that has paid off for them.
No. They've only been over 500 twice in that run. They had the great run in 20 in a shortened season, but it hasn't really quite played out the way they would have thought it was. And for all the talk of how, you know, the Padres are like a new era, it hasn't led to anything. So maybe they're thinking at some point we got to strike while we can, and this is our best chance.
Yeah,
and maybe some sense of desperation.
And they're really trying to take control of the city down there because the Chargers are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, this is their chance to be the thing, right? The NFL is the king everywhere, and now the NFL left there. And there are still a few Chargers fans there, I'm sure, but there's a lot of broken hearts who aren't going to sit there and invest in all that to be fans of the Chargers. But they...
The Padres have traded, Bob Nightingale puts this out, have traded five of their top 11 prospects today.
Wow.
that's putting a lot into this year.
I mean, is this how many of those guys? I know Soto is one of them. Soto's got 2 years after. He's got basically 2.5, right, left?
Mm-hmm. Two plus this 2 months or whatever.
I mean, I'm not – in San Diego, but it's safe to say, like, you have to finish. This has to, if not a ring, this has to at least bring a pennant over the course of what you gave up. You've got to be playing in a World Series at some point during the time you have these guys, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an unfair expectation at all. What you gave up for those guys? It's not like a one, you know, a 2 month rental like Johnny Cueto. You have to make a huge playoff push with what you gave up for these guys.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing, man. You have to go do it.
And it must be said that when you say, well, five of the top 11, is that five, that's five of that team's top 11. Now, what is that baseball wide? Where are the Padres? You know, if the Padres are a fruitful system, that means something. If the Padres have not had or would not be considered to have a very fruitful system, 5 of the top 11 isn't that big a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, the Padres did win a playoff series. It was the 2020 season. They beat the Cardinals in a series that was the weird series.
Where they played three straight games.
And then they lost 3-0 to the Dodgers, who ended up winning the World Series.
They beat the Rays in the World Series.
Yeah,
that was the where everyone was in Texas or somewhere else. Houston.
Arlington.
Arlington,
Had the brand new stadium. Yeah. You know, let's go play at the brand new stadium.
The first games that were played there were played by other teams.
Could have postseason games in Texas, whether you're in them or not. And they had it down there. But it hasn't been a great success yet. I mean, they haven't done it. And they're all in. I'm sure their fans are fired up. They're all in. They're going for this thing. Having Juan Soto in your franchise for the next couple of years is great, but do you think they're going to sign him to a $500 million thing? Or are they going to wait and see what goes down? I don't know what Boris and his folks want. That was $400 million wasn't enough in Washington. Will $500 million be enough out there? And how much money are the Padres have to go? Because I mean, Machado's still on the books, right? And I'm assuming they're paying
probably not
a pretty big chunk
of
this Hosmer stuff. But Tatis is $300 and some million.
Yeah,
you know?
I would doubt that he plays there past the end of this deal.
Yeah. And then where?
doesn't it feel like every player at some point is going to play for the Yankees and Dodgers?
Yeah.
I mean, that there's only so much to go. I mean, they can't sign everyone. I mean, I remember years ago, The Onion did a joke that, you know, Yankees sign every player in baseball. It did kind of feel that way at times. And as much as we talked about last week about the Yankees having some good homegrown talent, you know, that team is primarily made up of high-dollar free agents still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the best player on the team is the original guy, but everyone else seemingly is acquired from all the big, you know, Rizzo and Donaldson and Garrett Cole.
Even when they had Jeter and Posada and Bernie Williams and Pettit, they had like 7 other guys who were elsewhere.
Right.
A good mix.
And they're able to spit to, you know, to sign someone who sucks and just go, all right, yard that guy and we'll sign somebody else and see if they're able to take chances monetarily that other teams aren't.
Fernando Tatis has a 14-year, $340 million contract. Manny Machado is on a 10-year, $300 million contract. Eric Hosmer is on a $144 million contract, which they're going to be paying some of. The Red Sox will pay some of that. Hugh Darvish contract still goes through next year, $126 million. Now, Will Myers is still making money out there. It's pretty crazy. And now they've gone and they've gone after this. It's a lot of dough.
A lot of eggs in one basket.
It is. And go get it. Go get it. We'll see how it goes. So the Royals have done nothing in the last 5 minutes?
Nothing yet.
Looks like Royals Review latched on and tweeted out that lineup. I still have not seen one from
the actual club.
Yeah, but
we're probably going to wait a little while today. Maybe that's a sign that they are going to do. I mean, why would you put a lineup out if you have, if you really want to? It's not quite Fred White's. If you want to dream a little bit, if you want to speculate a little, the fact that a team that is generally puts out a lineup by this time hasn't, does that lead you to believe that maybe they? Either something's in the works, or are they just saying, hey, the deadline's coming up in a little over an hour. Let's just not put anything out until we know.
Yeah.
So, but if they wait and then they pop a lineup out at, you know, 4:30 and then they trade someone, you're like, why didn't you just wait?
Yeah, for sure. That's something. We'll see. And this is a weird year because the trading deadline used to kind of be over about, like 3 o'clock our time,
and they're
adding drama, so they can stretch this out till 5, which at this point has not added a flurry of things happening now.
No, most of the flurry, the big trades, and I mean, the Soto deal and that was most of the oxygen of the trade deal, so of the trade deadline. So once that went out there, and just to talk about how that plays out for both sides and the rest of the league, kind of is the story. So we've kind of digested that. Now we're kind of like, all right, what else? and it's looking to this point like there may not be very much else.
For very quick reference, to pile speculation on top of speculation, the Royals tweeted their lineup yesterday out at 4:18.
It was a little later, yeah.
So a little, yeah.
Yeah. It was 4. Right. I was looking at that. It's a little later because, you know, at this time of year, and they could have traded someone yesterday. They were making moves yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing cash considerations trades. What was the name of that guy they traded for? Ask Rico how to say his name.
Yeah, Rico. How do you say that name? Who they traded for yesterday?
He has no room.
Misevich.
No recollection. Misevich.
Was it Misevich?
Not Misevich. Misevich. He's got it down. Did you eat a cookie yet?
Manischewitz.
Okay, good. He ate a cookie. He ate a cookie. All right. Well, we're going to keep our eyes on this. I know it's frustrating for Royals fans who want to see something happen. So we will talk Chiefs with Tim Grunhard in the 4 o'clock hour. But if they trade someone, we'll talk about that too. In the meantime, we will continue talking about this stuff and hear from some Chiefs as we move along. Don't forget 5 o'clock hour NFL after we tell you what you need to know. Mike Sandow from The Athletic breaking it all down. Big stuff going on in the NFL as well, with the penalties getting handed down to the Miami Dolphins for tampering. And you don't see that every day. They get penalized like that. And we still haven't seen anything from the league appealing this Deshaun Watson thing. They haven't officially done anything.
As I heard someone say, I don't remember who it was, but you know, you hook up to the press conference, and so we hear some of the reporters talking in the background before things started. I heard someone say, "Hey, man, at least when the Chiefs got messed around for tampering, they actually got Jeremy Maclin. They didn't come up snake eyes."
Yeah, you lose your first round pick, and you don't get Tom Brady, and he goes and wins the Super Bowl in your home state. That didn't work all that well, did it?
Cost him a first round and a third round pick, and they didn't even get the player.
That's something. All right. You're inside the program here on a Tuesday, on a trade deadline Tuesday in Major League Baseball. Welcome back to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pretty disappointing 3 o'clock hour so far. No Royals trades have happened, but it's always going to brighten up when Josh Briscoe joins us. Briscoe, tell us where you are and what you're doing today.
What I'm doing right now is hoping to, you know, not add to the disappointment. I am at Red Door Grill. You might have just heard that squeaking in the background with the Foley work. That is the Red Door here at Red Door
Grill. Oh, you're squeaking the door. Beautiful.
I'm squeaking the Red Door, so you have no Foley question work at all about where we're at right now. It is at 6324 Brookside Plaza. That's obviously in Brookside. Happy hour right now. We're out here. I'm here till 5:30. Happy hour runs till 6. We're giving away some tickets for the 100-year anniversary party coming up on the 11th. So, just a real nice time at the grill with the Red Door in the front.
And you have actual tickets to our 100-year celebration happening next Thursday. How can people get their hands on these?
You need to come out here, and you'll just find me and Dylan and Ted. We're all hanging around the front. We've got a big 8-10 table with a big red box on it. Red Door, red box. Get to the box, put your name down, drop it in there. You register to win, and we're going to give away tickets on the half hour every time we are out here. Actually, two pairs of tickets on every half hour. So if you really want to be at this event coming up on the 11th, this really is going to be one of your best chances to enter. Because you're not calling everybody like we do during the show sometimes. You can come just drop your name in and say howdy and grab a drink here at Red Door.
Yeah, the odds are better this way, because being the 8th caller or the 100th caller or whichever number caller we say when we do this is difficult. But if you're out and about, you've got a couple hours to get down to Red Door Grill, and the odds are pretty good on these things because not everyone can come to Red Door Grill either. So you get signed up, and you can win tickets. It should be fun.
The most important part here is makes my life easier.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not calling.
Yeah, they don't have to answer the phone in there.
Because that is a very difficult job, as you can imagine.
It's one of the hardest things you have to do.
Yeah.
There's way too much to do.
People don't give you enough credit, Adam, for how hard you work.
He grinds in there. And the phone rings, and he answers it, and he has to say, "You're number one. I'm sorry." Are you apologizing to people who are number one?
I apologize to number seven. I don't apologize. I just say one.
Don't even tell them. It just makes it worse.
I'm sorry. You're so close. You're number seven.
I like when we do callers 8 and 10. I give number 9 a really hard time. So, blew it here.
You should have called earlier, buddy.
But that's the benefit of out here also, is your consolation prize is happy hour with me. I mean, if you want to, you know, buy me a drink or whatever, I'll stand here and drink it with you. I don't have anywhere to be for a little while.
Nah, so, you're good. Red Door Grill in Brookside. Josh Briscoe is down there asking for people to buy him a drink.
That's right. I mean, I don't see the problem with that. And like I said, really, the prize here is being at Red Door during happy hour. The consolation, you can try to win these tickets or whatever. But you're going to have a great time out here regardless. It really is a beautiful spot out here. And honestly, right now I'm just kind of pacing around outside because I didn't want to disrupt anybody who didn't want to see me while they were enjoying their happy hour drinks. It's even kind of nice outside. I'm having a real good time out here.
It's a good time, and this is going to be a fun event we have going on next Thursday night at the Midland. And it's free. I mean, we're not charging anyone to get into this we have sponsors, obviously, and things like that. But you want to win tickets, we're just giving them out. So Red Door Grill, Brookside, is a very good chance to get that done today with Josh Briscoe. Now, we have been waiting to try to find out if the Royals are going to trade anyone, Josh. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anytime. How disappointed are you? Now, I guess we can't be disappointed for another hour and 8 minutes. But how disappointed are you right now that nothing's happened?
Bad. I'm down bad right now. I tweeted just a little bit ago, like, it's obviously it's too early to judge what we're going to feel like in an hour and a half, whatever, whenever all this is all settled. But right now it feels terrible. Like, we had the reports today of, first of all, we've seen the reliever market go nuts. So you have Barlow and Saumont just waiting to be scooped up by a contender. Nothing other than that we have heard teams are interested in both of them. We've heard that teams are interested in Brad Keller. And Whit Merrifield can't be here any longer. I feel like that was just the shelf life on that. We're past the expiration date on Whit Merrifield in Kansas City. And still here we are wondering, are they going to do anything before the deadline actually hits? And if they don't, I just think it's only going to add to sort of the stale feeling that this entire season has largely had, with the exception of the young guys getting called up. So I am nervous and pessimistic and underwhelmed and somehow still disappointed.
Yeah, now it looks like Matt Boyd, who's a starting pitcher for the Tigers, is going to the Mariners, according to John Heyman. So, and the Mariners have another, they're getting a catcher. I mean, the Mariners are out. They've already traded with the Mariners once. It's time to get back on that one, right?
Yeah, get back on the phones. Make your team better and pretend that you have an idea of what your actual window is. Like, we talked about that some on the Zone today, but like the idea that, I mean, this is the ultimate conclusion to not really knowing how good your team is all of a sudden you get all your years mixed up. You have your windows fluctuating over time, and then all of a sudden your windows have disappeared or they never actually opened. And I don't know, man. I wish I had more faith that the Royals were properly evaluating themselves.
Well, the Royals just completely, I mean, the series in Toronto and everything that came out of that was just, I think, the low point from a feeling standpoint.
Yeah.
And since then, they've done a number of things that have kind of spiked some interest. Some of the pitching has been, the young pitching has been coming around. Some of the hitters they've brought up have been coming around. There's actually they played competitive as you can be in a four game series loss when they played the Yankees in New York. They won last night. There's the fans are kind of like ready to have a little bit of optimism, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're really wanting this to kind of cap that off. And I think if they don't make some kind of move between now and 5 o'clock, and we're now an hour and 5 minutes away, I think that kind of blunts a lot of that momentum. And I think they're kind of right back where they mentally, the fan base at least, where they were a month ago.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Because the Toronto point as a low point, 100% absolutely. And I think one thing that maybe the Royals even get wrong is I think sometimes they act as if their fans are stupid whenever we know better. Like, fans aren't just trying to tune in to see, hey, if they win the game, nothing else matters. Me and most people within the sound of my voice right now would happily tune in to watch a bunch of the young guys,
yes,
and Brady Singer lose 1-0 rather than watch an 8-7 win with a whole bunch of guys who aren't going to be here in 2 years. We have better aspirations than this in Kansas City for this baseball team, and sometimes it feels like the organization itself does not.
Briscoe, you've got 20 seconds to tell us what you are and what you're doing.
I am at Red Door Grill in Brookside. We're giving away tickets to the 100-year party coming up on August 11th. Come enjoy happy hour at Red Door Grill. Again, that's Red Door Grill in Brookside, 6324 Brookside Plaza in Brookside. Come see me.
All right, that's Josh Briscoe. Go check him out by 5:30. Thanks, buddy. And we're going to talk Chiefs next with Tim Grunhard. So the Royals trades will begin to flow once we start talking football with Tim Grunhard. I promise you, that's the way to make it happen. You got to start talking football, and then you'll get the baseball trades coming in.
I believe it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Nothing else has worked. Might as well try that.
We'll see how it goes.
All right, how many Heisman Trophy winners have played at least one game for the Chiefs? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.